to start out looking in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at the book of Romans chapter 9 after that. Praise the Lord. I think for, as we, you know, sometimes I begin to think about for the new year, 2014, kind of direction, what kind of a emphasis here to get started in the first part of this year. And it seems like, you know, things have been delayed here a little bit. kind of like your car, having trouble getting traction. Okay? But my thought is for this year of 2014 is passion. Passion. For Bethel Chapel, our passion. Passion. Look with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Talking about Jesus here in verse 36. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Notice that there? Compassion. Compassion. You can't have compassion without passion. You can't have compassion without being passionate. Follow me? Yeah. Otherwise, you're a fake. Right? If you're trying to have compassion on somebody and you're being a ooey gooey and sympathetic, you know, crocodile tears with them, you know, giving a shoulder to cry on, just going all you to be compassionate for them, to try to really feel their pain, and then you walk away and you laugh about their situation, joke about their situation. That's you're not passionate about your compassion. Right? When you have a passion, right, with compassion, it motivates you. Okay? Let me put it this way. If you're passionate about compassion, you can't be passive. Right? You got to do something about it. If you're really passionate about your compassion, you'll do something to try to ease the pain of somebody else. Let me get to where I'm going. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We've all read those verses. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. But when we read those verses there, it's sort of like what I was talking to you about at the beginning of a service. You can recite something, right? But can you feel the passion that Jesus was feeling when he said those words? Can you feel the passion that was in his voice? It's easy for you to just sit there and read those words and say those words. But when Jesus said them, he was saying them with passion in his voice. He was saying them from the depths of his heart. He was saying them out of compassion, being moved with compassion. He was saying these with a broken heart. He was saying these words with tearful eyes. He was saying these words, amen, longing for the laborers to go into the field. There was a longing, there was a desperation in him. Since what it was that he was feeling when he said these words, it's easy to say words. It's easy to recite them. It's easy to repeat them. But it's harder to feel the emotion and the passion that somebody was feeling when they said those words. And if we would just realize what it was that Jesus was feeling when he said these words. He was being moved with compassion. He was being moved with compassion. Let me tell you, it's not the only time in Scripture that Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion many times over multitudes, over people that had lost their loved ones. Amen. He was moved with compassion on many, many occasions. But on this occasion, it is for lost souls. It is for lost souls. He has a passion for the lost. He has a passion for lost souls. That's what I want to talk to you about. Amen. Is a passion for lost souls. Amen. Do we have a passion for lost souls? Do you have compassion with passion for lost souls? Right? Passion. Passion. Look with me to the book of Romans. You say, well, Brother David, that was Jesus. He was perfect. He was Jesus. Okay. Romans 9. It's not Jesus. It's Paul. Okay? It's Paul. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Listen, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That is passion for a lost soul. That is a passion for a lost soul. He felt the burden, the heaviness. He felt the sorrow of a lost mankind. But he went so far as to say, I wished, if it was possible, that I could be accursed. That somehow I, a sinful man, could somehow to stand in the stead of my brethren. That I would be accursed. That they might would be saved. That is passion for the lost. That is a passion. Not this was not a man that wasn't afraid. You know, sometimes I've got a passion for the lost and we don't even want to teach Sunday school class. I've got a passion for the lost and we don't even want to knock on a door. I've got a passion for the lost, and we don't want to do anything for God or anything in the church. We don't want to do anything but sit up here and say, I've got a passion for the lost. That's not this man. He was willing to do it. He was willing to go. He was willing to be shipwrecked. He was willing to be beaten. He was willing to take it all. Amen. To travel all over the known world at that day on all of his missionaries' journeys. He was well willing to be beaten with stripes. He was willing to endure all that to try to win some for Christ. This is a man that had a burden. This is a man, but you know what? He said, if I had to, I would be willing to go to hell, amen, so that all my brethren might be saved. That is passion. That is passion. There's one other time in Scripture that a man said that, Moses said that about the children of Israel. He'd come down off of the mount, and when he'd come down, they was worshiping a calf. And God was ready to strike them dead. God was ready to just wipe them out, start over with Moses. And Moses said, Lord, amen, you take me. You take me. You can take my life, but don't take the life of these people. You can take me. He tried to stand in the stead of those people, that he, the one who had not committed the sin, would somehow intervene and have a passion for those people. Amen. Most of us say, strike them dead, God. They deserved it. They deserve it. Let them die. They're a thief. They're a robber. They're a killer. Amen. They're a sinner. Let them get what they deserve. Where is the passion for the lost? Where is the passion for lost mankind? Lord, help us to have passion for the lost. Not just to say, I want to see lost souls saved. Do you really want to see lost souls saved? There's a man in Lima, Ohio, or Lima, Ohio, however you want to say it. It's just north of Dayton. Brother Chris, you know where it's at. You've been there just recently. There's a man there. He has a business. When he started that business, he dedicated that business to God. It's pretty good. Say, how serious was he? He takes a salary out of the business, but all profits from this prosperous business go straight to missions all over the world. He takes a salary, and then everything else goes to missionaries all over the world. How serious is he about it? This business, all of it, is deeded, legally deeded to God. God owns the business. God owns the business. He's not the owner. He's not the owner. All he does is get a salary. Everything else goes to the work of God. He travels all across the country, all across the world. Hey, man, on mission trips and trying to reach souls. Man, they say that every year he witnesses to over 1,700 people himself. One-on-one, witnessing to them. Hey, man, trying to lead them to Christ. That is passion. That's not somebody that says, I'd love to see lost souls saved. That's somebody that wants and goes and has a passion for the lost soul. That has a passion for lost mankind. Help us, Lord. Man, we need to see the departure of men. The departure of men from God. Tell you what, it's sad. It burdens my heart to see people walk away from the Lord. People to go out into sin. People that have opportunity and have heard the gospel and know the gospel and to walk away from it. I mean, does that not burden your soul? Are you not touched by that? Are you not somehow moved? Man, it bothers me when we come into the house of God. If we have a service of the Spirit of God is moving to see somebody walk out the doors and not give their life to Jesus Christ. That bothers me. That bothers me. Does it bother you to see people walk away, to go farther into sin, to see them get farther and farther and farther away from God? To see their heart get hard, to see their heart get cold and away from God, to see them walking away, departing from God. Amen, it's a sad day. Amen, we ought to be burdened for those that are walking away from God today. See, well, it's their choice. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. God's dealt with them. They made their choice. Listen, amen, we got to have a burden and a passion, amen, to reach those that are walking away from God each and every day. I don't believe that everybody, that the only people going to heaven are in Bethel Chapel. Okay? I'm not that naive. I just hope that everybody in Bethel Chapel goes to heaven. That's really what I hope. Right? That's my prayer. And I can't say somebody that walks away from Bethel Chapel, they're going to hell. Man, that's not where we're at, but can we tell you, amen, if they walk away from God and we see them depart from the faith and we see them depart from God and the calling of God, amen, the Spirit of God dealing with them and see them walk away from it, does that not burden our heart? Do we not have a passion to see the soul saved? Do we not have a passion to reach out to lost mankind to see them saved? It's not just the departure, it's the depravity that I see in mankind. How wicked men are becoming. How wicked our world is. We live in a wicked world. We live in a horrible day when people, the wickedness that we see today was not even thought of a generation ago. The things that are commonplace as far as wickedness today, amen, were something that was far, far, far away from the mind of the sinner a generation ago. And now it's commonplace wickedness. Now it's open and plain before our eyes, the wickedness and the depravity of sin. Amen, but I have a passion to see sinners saved. Amen. To see lost come to Christ. Amen. It's not like it was maybe a generation ago. I can't say, we just assume that it's not like it was then. Because we've seen such depravity. But when people come in and walk down the aisle and come down and sit in a church pew and then eventually come and kneel at an altar, amen, to give their life to Jesus, amen, sometimes their life is in such horrible mess. They have been so far into sin. Their mind is so full of wickedness. Their heart is so, their life is in such a wreck. It's been destroyed by sin and by Satan. When we see a life that is in such condition, are we not moved with compassion? Do we not have compassion for it? Or do we say, this is too tough of a case for me? This is too hard for us. These people are so far gone. There's no way we can reach them. Oh, church, have a passion for lost mankind. Amen. Have the passion that, Lord, I want to see every soul saved. Every lost soul saved. Everyone that comes and sits on a pew, I want them to know Christ. Everyone that's in my Sunday school class, I want them to know Jesus Christ. Everyone that rides my bus, I want them to know Jesus Christ. Where's the passion? Where's the passion? When we see their depravity, we see the condition that they are in, it ought to move our heart. It ought to motivate us. It ought to stir our passion. It ought to stir our passion. Yeah. My dad never tells the story, but I tell it periodically. When I was in third grade, Mrs. Foster's class, third grade, right over here in New Logan. That's New Logan over there, the one that's now old. That's New Logan. Okay, I had just transferred from Old Logan out of Miss Hall's class, Miss Grant's class, and Miss Miller's class at the Old Logan. But I was in Miss Foster's class. Here's the problem with Miss Foster. She also taught my mom and dad. That's a problem. Yeah. That's when you know you have taught way too long in the public school system. All right? But one day when I was in school, just over here on North Street, a trailer caught on fire. Mom and dad, they love that fire. George, there's fire. Fire, George. We need to follow that fire truck right there, George. Let's go. Let's follow that fire truck. Let's see where that fire's at. My mom and dad love fire. They love to follow fire trucks. They go. Matter of fact, they were eyewitness to a fire truck accident over there. Was called before the judge to give a statement because they were eyewitnesses to the fire truck accident. They love a fire truck. You know what? There's a fire over there, George. It's fire, George. Let's go. They went. So George drove over there. When George got there, okay, the trailer was burning. It was engulfed in flames. Somebody said, there's somebody inside the trailer. My dad banged on the door, hollered, screamed inside, and man came out. He had been in the shower, and he came out. He said, there's a baby in there. My dad crawled into that burning trailer. Crawled down the hallway, said the smoke was so bad he couldn't see where he was going. Feeling along the walls, made his way into a bedroom, finally found a crib, reached over and grabbed a baby out of the crib, pulled that baby out of the crib, amen, and crawled back out and brought that baby out and saved that baby's life. My dad was a hero. It was in the paper. Remember we was in Royal Rangers and he got a Royal Ranger medal? That was big stuff, man. Come on, you guys laugh if you want to, all right? That was big stuff. You got the Royal Ranger Medal of Honor, you know? Man, I'll tell you what, me a buckaroo and my dad getting a Medal of Honor and a Ranger, and as a Ranger, that was big stuff. He crawled into a burning trailer to save a baby? Where's our passion for lost souls? Where is our passion for lost souls? Do you know what? Here's the main thing. I asked Dad this the other day. Dad, did you ever hear from that family again? Do you know anything about it? Said, I don't even know who they are. I've never heard from them. Wow. Do you know what? Somewhere there could be right now a 40-year-old man that was saved out of a burning trailer by a man he don't even know. He don't even know his name. Don't even know nothing about it. He may not have even ever been told the story. But he was saved. Do you know what, church? We got to have a passion for the lost. Amen. It don't matter how bad their condition. It don't matter from where they've come from. That we're willing to go to whatever length is necessary. Amen. To save, amen, another soul. To save a soul for God. How far will you go? How far will your passion drive you? How strong is your passion? How much will it make you go? Passion. That's not only the departure that concerns me and the depravity, but it's their destination. Because they're going to hell. They are going to hell. Our passion, if you think about it, it's hell. It's been too long since we have felt the flames of hell in our own soul. We need to be reminded that hell is real and that countless souls are going to a devil's hell. And if we don't save them, if somebody don't reach them, if somebody don't reach out to them, they will die lost in their sin. What are we thinking? Are we thinking that somehow, amen, that God's going to change his mind and not send them all to hell? No, he's not. Amen. Hell is real. Amen. And for that reason, we should get passionate about reaching a lost soul before they die and go to hell. We ought to be passionate. We ought to be burdened. We ought to have a compassion that moves us, a passion that burns inside of us. Amen, that we've got to save a soul from hell. Amen, one evangelist said, Lord, hold me over the flames of hell until I feel the heat of hell. God, so it burdens me to win the lost. And maybe that's what needs to happen to all of us, especially me, that we feel the flames of hell again. Amen, in our own life, to make us realize, God, we got to have a passion to reach souls before they go there. It takes a passion. Passion. One little girl, she was very sick and she was dying. Her pastor was a relatively well-known preacher. His name was Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon would come to visit her, pray with her, and pray for her healing. She told Charles Spurgeon, I'm ready to die. I want to die. He said, why would a young girl like you want to die? You've got so much to live for. She said, my daddy's lost. My daddy won't go to church. I've asked and I've begged and pleaded for my daddy to. The only way I'm going to get my daddy to go to church is if I die and he comes to my funeral and you will preach to him and you will save his soul. She was willing, even if I have to die, that my daddy would get saved, that my daddy would be preached to. That's passion. That's passion. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Lord, help me to win a soul for Christ. When was the last time you won somebody to Christ because you personally, you did it? I'm not talking about somebody that you just prayed with at an altar, but you had the opportunity to directly be influential in their salvation. Tell you, for some, it's been way too long. Way too long. The passion needs to stir inside. It needs to stir inside of you. Lord, help me to have a passion for the lost. There's so much I would like to say tonight, but for time, I'm going to cut it short here for your sake. Okay, but can I tell you that, you know what? It's like going to a car dealer, going on the Chevrolet lot to buy a brand new Chevrolet. Car dealer, the salesman comes out talking to you about the Chevrolet, telling you how, you know, a little bit about the car, and you say, well, man, what do you think? Is this a good car? He's, well, really, I'm a Ford man myself, but That's a smart man right there, Brother Patrick, a Ford man. It's not a piece of junk. But that's, would you buy that Chevrolet from a man that says, I'm a Ford man myself, but you know, I think this is a good car. You know what? People realize whether you're real or not. People know if you have a passion for what you are. If you're not a passionate Christian, you're not going to win nobody to Christ. If you can't be passionate about it, they are not going to feel it. If you can't get passionate about being a child of God and being a Christian, that story about that boy that was trying to sell peaches and he couldn't sell anything. He stood there all day trying to sell peaches and nobody would buy not one peach. Finally, he got so frustrated. He sat down on that case of peaches, pulled out a peach, and started eating it. He was enjoying that peach, and the juice started running down his chin and dripping off his elbows, and the juice was just staying in the front of his church shirt as he was enjoying that peach and as he was eating. And you know why it wasn't long? He had sold the whole case of peaches. Amen. If you are passionate about serving God, amen, somebody will want what you have. If you've got a passion in your heart, you can win somebody to God. But if you're nonchalant, so what? Maybe you will, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Get passionate about God. Get passionate for souls. Amen. And you can win somebody to Christ. Amen. I remember that when Bible school, we had personal works day, and we'd had to choose one. Me and John Bean, we had been praying for personal works for a whole year. We decided we'd do street ministry, door-to-door, knocking on doors. So we did that. And one day, we was passing out tracts on the square. They call it. Anyway, it was the square. And we were walking by. There's this boy leaning on a parking meter out in front of a building. And we stopped and talked to him for a few minutes, and he seemed to be receptive. And finally, we asked him, would you like to pray with us? Ask that big question. He said, yes. Me and Brother John Bean just about died. We had to regroup. Think, now, what was the next step? What are we supposed to pray? What are we supposed to, you know what? Get passionate. Get passionate about what you're doing. Amen. There's souls out there that's ready to be saved. There's people out there that's ready. Hallelujah. They're looking for somebody that really believes it. That really believes it. That really believes that Jesus saves. That really believes they can be delivered from hell. Man, are you passionate about it? Passion for souls. Amen. Would you stand with me? There's got to be somebody that you can reach.
Right.
There's got to be some soul that you can lead to Christ. There's got to be. Just one?
Right.
Just one person that might give their life to Jesus Christ because
right.
You felt the burden? John Wesley said, let us all be of one business. We live only for this, to save our souls and the souls of those who will hear us. He said, give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen. Such alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. Give us men and women, men that have a passion for souls. If everyone in this building right now would get what I'm trying to tell us tonight, if even myself, I'm preaching to myself tonight, get an unstoppable unquenchable passion for souls.
Oh, yes.
By the end of 2014, this building could not contain the people. You believe me?
Amen.
This building could not contain the people. Many times we feel like, you know what? We need to, we got to get people that's already cleaned up, shaken up, you know, got their act together. You know what? Bring them in. Let the blood of Jesus, let the Spirit of God do the rest of it. But we need to get them saved. Say, but Brother David, don't they need to look like us? Don't they need to act like us? Don't they have to smell and talk, amen, and dress and comb their hair the same way that we comb our hair? No, they don't. They're sinners. They need to be saved. God will take care of everything else.
Amen.
Reach the lost. Have a passion for the lost. Let nothing quench your passion. Let nothing quench your passion. Hallelujah. Amen. Bow your heads tonight. Dear Jesus, God, I ask you, Lord God, that you touch each and every one of us. Touch our hearts, Lord Jesus. Speak to us, God. Stir up a passion for the lost souls, Lord. Awaken us, oh God. Awaken us. Awaken us. God, I pray, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, you can use me. I am your servant, Lord. Use me. I will sing your praise. Whate'er the cost, I'll pay the price. Use me. I will preach the word. I'll sing your praise. I'll tell of your amazing grace. Someday, somehow, some way, Lord, use me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that your desire? Hallelujah. I feel like that we're all sitting around a marriage table. We're ready for the feast to begin. We're sitting there in our wedding garments. We look all nice and pretty. We're in the lighted chamber waiting for the bride. Waiting for the bride to come and be reunited with the groom. We're ready for the feast to begin. Happiness and joy abounds all around us. But have we forgotten that out in the streets, out in the darkness, out in the cold, out in the dismal world that is around us, there are countless of those that are waiting, that are lost, that have not had an opportunity to come in. And the message is, go! Go into the highways and the byways and the hedges. Compel them. Compel them. Beg with them. Plead with them to come into the marriage supper. I mean, that is our duty.
Hallelujah.
That we reach one soul, two souls. Lord, you put a passion in our heart. I pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, would you come with me tonight? Let's come and let our passion be stirred. Let our passion be stirred.
I am your servant, Lord. Use me. I will sing your praise. Whatever the cost, I'll pay the price. Use me. Oh, I'll preach the word. Laborers stood and it had, it lied around the world. Oh, there would be so many gaps that's in between. Oh, while people fall so helplessly out into eternity, while God's pleading for some workers to latch on. Oh, you can use me. I am your servant, Lord. Use me. I will sing your praise. I'll pay the cost, whatever the price. Use me. Oh, I'll preach the word. I'll sing your praise. I'll tell of your amazing grace. Someday, somehow, some way, Lord, use me. Oh, you can use me. Your servant, Lord, use me. I will sing your praise. Whatever the cost, I'll pay the price. Use me. Oh, I'll preach the word. I'll sing your praise. I'll tell. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, if we don't believe, then how will they know? How will they hear? Never go, oh Lord, send us to the world. If we don't believe, then how will they see? How will they know that they can be free? Oh Lord, send us to the world. Oh, if we don't believe, then how will they know? Oh Lord, send us to the world. are dying, children. While Christians are sinning, talking of heaven, while the world and its millions go faster and deeper to a living hell below. Oh, sing it with us.
Stand with me if you would tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all that God would stir our compassion. And stir our compassion. Hallelujah. Seems like even though we're Christians, we have our needs. I understand that.
Right, sure.
We have our needs. We become so focused on our own needs and our own life, thinking, you know, about all that we need. Well, we need this, we need that. We've, you know, got this to do, and all of our needs, they're great, and many of them are legitimate needs. Sometimes we forget the greatest need in our life has already been met. The greatest need in your life was a Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that need's already been met. But for there's countless of thousands of millions of people, and probably the thousands of people that you know personally, that the greatest need in their life has not even been met yet. While we are worried about a few more dollars here to meet a physical need, or just a little bit more cushion here, we feel like our need, there's some that the greatest need of all mankind is still unmet in their life. Help us, Lord God, to see the need of other people's life. You know, we get phone calls at the church on an everyday, countless basis. I can't tell you how many phone calls I receive. People, can you help us? Rent, utilities, a night stay in a motel, food, water bill, electric bill. It's just, you know, the dog needs shampooed. It goes on and on. Countless things. Crazy things. Okay? The needs are so great. And they all call, but the truth of the matter is their greatest need is not a $50 gift card shop at Save. The greatest need is not another month's rent paid. The greatest need is not letting their dog smell good. But the greatest need in their life is that they have a Savior, Jesus Christ. While we do all we can to help as many as we can with the physical needs, and give us a passion, Lord, to meet the spiritual need of people's life. The most important need they have, and that's for a Savior. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I'm sorry to drag on. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I love you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, for what you've done for us, that you've saved us. And God, we who sit here at the marriage supper, enjoying the goodness of God and the blessings of the Lord, God, I pray that you stir our passion, God, to reach lost souls. God, we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.